Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Hey everyone, I am excited to be back with our Writers Wednesday episodes. This is one I am sure all authors will glean a lot from. More on that soon after a few announcements. First of all, we are just a little over a week away from our next Coffee and Books event on August 17th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Meet authors Misty Embeller and Jody Basie and enjoy a fun Q&A session with them. This is a great opportunity to ask these talented authors about their writing process, the tools they use, and marketing strategies. This is a free event, but you will need to register to save your spot. There is a link to register in the blog post for this episode, or you can register at literaryescape.com/events. If you're an author of historical Christian romance, then I encourage you to connect with authors in your genre through HCRW. HCRW is our writers group for historical Christian romance authors. We offer community, connection, critiquing, and training. Memberships start at just $3 a month. Visit literaryescape.com/HCRW to learn more. In authors, September's expert training will focus on how to write a book proposal. Our expert trainer will be Terry Whalen. Join us on September 19th from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as he walks you through how to write a book proposal that sells for just $17. This training is free for HCRW editing members. If you want to write a book proposal that will catch the eye of an agent and acquisitions editor, then be sure to join us for an hour of training. You can learn more and register at literaryescape.com/events. In this week's Writers Wednesday episode, you will learn how to write the perfect pitch for your book with Lindsay Hughes, aka The Pitch Master. Lindsay loves helping people discover their superpower, create compelling content, and feel excited about pitching and networking. She teaches how to pitch like a boss, network like a VIP, and write like an Oscar winner. In her wide-ranging career as a Hollywood development executive, Lindsay worked in everything from feature films, television movies, and TV series, to animation and live action. She began her career reading scripts for Robert Zemeckis and Kathryn Bigelow, worked under Michael Eisner at Walt Disney Feature Animation, and developed projects for John H. Williams, producer of the billion-dollar Shrek franchise. She is the author of two nonfiction books, How to Turn Your Screenplay into a Novel, and The Pitchmaster's Top Tactics. Subscribe to her weekly newsletter for actionable creativity and career tips at thepitchmaster.com/newsletter. And I have signed up for her newsletter. She always has great information in there for you as an author. So I highly recommend signing up for her newsletter. On that note, let's head into our interview with Lindsay. Welcome, Lindsay, to the podcast. So excited to have you here today to talk about pitching our novels. And really, I think more pitching ourselves.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa. I'm super excited. This is my favorite topic to talk about. I'm really passionate because you can't get anywhere just in life, but definitely in your author career, if you don't know how to talk about who you are and what your story is about. So that's what we're going to cover today.
Wonderful. And I cannot wait to dig in. So let's just kind of hit it off with the big question. How do you pitch projects? I know you like to call them projects.
I do. I come from Hollywood is my background. And in Hollywood, everything's a project until it's like on Netflix, right? So I think I like calling your book a project because it can, it's still a story, and a story can be a bunch of different things. And so when you're talking about your story, you want to get people excited, but not tell them everything. And this is, that's the thing that writers in general, whether you're an author or a screenwriter, really trip up on, because you've lived for weeks or months or years with your story, and you want to tell them every little detail about your magic system or your whole genealogy of your heroine's family, whatever it is, right? But you just want to tell them enough to make them interested. So I'm big on catchphrases, and one of the ones that we're going to start out with is pitching is selling, not telling. In order to pitch properly, you want to tell people just enough that they are interested, that they'll pick the book off the bookshelf, that they'll click the buy button, or if you're in person, that they will say, tell me more. So it's, you want to get to that, tell me more, however it is. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get to pitching your project, though, I want to back up and talk about pitching yourself. Before we started recording, Melissa mentioned that you, some of you guys are going to be prepping to go to a big writers conference in New Orleans called, what is it again, Melissa?
It's ACFW.
Woo-woo! So you're going to be pitching there, and you're going to be meeting lots of people there. And the first part of pitching your book, it seems weird and counterintuitive, but it's pitching yourself, because usually, especially in person, you're talking about yourself and then what you're working on, right? So anybody that is listening to this, whether you're published or not, no matter how many books you've written, as long as you are writing, you're a writer. That's the great thing about being a writer, is you can do it by yourself in a room and be a writer. You don't have to wait for someone to give you permission, like the four actors I know. You don't have to wait for someone to even publish. If you're writing, you're a writer. But most writers I know, even the very successful ones that make money, when they introduce themselves, they're embarrassed. They kind of look down and they're like, I'm a writer. And it just drives me crazy, because most people think one of their dreams is to write a book, but hardly anyone does it. And so the fact that you're doing it is super, super exciting. And I am a story geek. I love all stories. I've always been a voracious reader, and I geek out when I meet a writer, even though I work with them every day. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's your story? What's your book? I want to know. So I want to encourage everybody listening that when you talk about being a writer, you stand tall, you make eye contact, you smile, you're excited, and you say, I'm a writer. Now, there's all kinds of writers. There's screenwriters, there are comic book writers, right? So you want to say the kind of writer you are, please. I've never met a writer who doesn't, who leaves it, they just leave it there. And then I have to pull it out of them. It's just crazy. So you want to say, I'm a writer, I write, and for the purposes of this audience, I write Christian historical romance. And you want to say the time period that your books are set in. So let's just say in the 1880s, set in Texas, they're cowboy period romances. I mean, cowboys, first of all, are very dreamy. So I hear that and I'm like, I'm hooked. I want to hear more about your story. I want to hear more about how you got into it. All these things that you think are so ordinary because you're working so hard are actually exciting to other people, even other writers, even people at writers' conferences. They're there to meet writers. They want to hear what kind of writer you are. So when you introduce yourself, say, I'm like, for me, I would say, I'm Lindsay, and I'm not writing Christian romance, right? My book is a steampunk, it's historical though, a steampunk fantasy action thriller, right? Set in the world of paleontology. Very weird, very specific, but that's going to make people ask questions, even if they are not that into steampunk. And it's the same with you. If you, even if you meet someone that doesn't know about Christian historical romance or even about Christian books in general, they're going to have a lot of questions for you, which are good questions because they're going to spark a conversation. And that makes networking a lot easier because you have a lot to talk about. So That's what I like to call your writer logline. You're introducing yourself about the kind of books you write, and it gets people to, again, do that tell me more and ask you questions. And then you have this trick I stole from another writing teacher. Her name is Alexandra Franzen, and it's called It All Started With. So we all talk about our inciting incident in our books. We all have one in our writing careers, right? About the thing that got us started on loving stories or loving your specific time period you're working in. And you can tell a short, you don't want to go on and on, but just a few sentences about your It All Started With. And then you say, and that's when I realized I love cowboy romance or whatever it is. And then you kind of wrap up with what you're doing now. You can talk a little bit more about your book. Specifically, if you're at this event in the fall in New Orleans, you can talk about why you're at the conference and what you hope to gain there, whether it could be, your goal could be make a lot of writer friends. Your goal could be get an agent, get a publisher, get better at your craft. So those are all, again, great things to talk about that get to the tell me more in conversation. So I wanted to give you an example, because I know the It All Started With sounds a little bit amorphous. Mine is, it all started with 3 Days of the Condor. My dad had taken me to a screening of the classic Robert Redford spy film. It was the end of the movie. The bad guy had gotten the drop on him. He was holding Robert Redford at gunpoint. The entire audience went, and I called out in my little 3-year-old voice, "Don't worry. He used to be a bad guy and now he's good." And that is exactly what happened in the next minute. And in that moment, my knack of storytelling and love of movies was born. So you can see how your It All Started With makes you memorable. And you can include it in your written bio, which has these things, your personal logline, your It All Started With, what you're doing now, and then you have your personal touch, which you'll notice most writers' bios say, when she's not writing, she's XYZ. So mine is looking for the perfect chocolate chip cookie and hanging out with my dog. So something a little quirky to make people remember you. So that's the first part of pitching. It seems counterintuitive, but you want to be able to talk about yourself and introduce yourself in a way that makes people want to ask you more questions, get interested in you, get interested in your book. And this is just great practice for networking. So, Melissa and I actually met on over email, but if we had met in person, I would have asked her what kind of writer she is. And what would you have said, Melissa? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, I would have said I write historical Christian romance packed with steam and action.
Okay, I love it. I want to read steam and action because I like both those things in my stories. But you know what you missed is what time period. Do you write all over the place or do you have a specific time period?
So I should have added, so I'm in the 1800s out west with cowboys.
Okay. So this is important because we were talking about this before we hit record, and we're going to get into it now about your project. The great thing about being an author is you have a wide and varied audience. There are millions of book readers. They don't all read what you write. So the key is you want to find what I call your people. Some people call it your tribe or your super fans, but you want to find your people. So when you're pitching, just like which is selling, right? Your no's are important as your yeses. Now, no's hurt, right? Being rejected hurts. Someone not buying the buy button, that even hurts your bottom line. But in the end, it's going to work for you. You don't want to spend advertising dollars or just as expensive your time chasing people that are not going to read your book or not going to buy your book. So when you're pitching and talking about what you write, it's really important to be as specific as possible. And because that is how you find your people. Now, there are some readers like me, I read all kinds of things. I don't just read one thing. but there are plenty of readers that only read one thing. I know this from the cozy mystery world. I love, that's kind of my main recreational reading. And it gets really specific. There are people that only read 1920s cozy mysteries set in England, okay? And it's the same with historical Christian romance. There may be people that read all over the place, but there may only be people that want their steamy 1880s cowboys. And those are the people you want to make sure that you find, because those people will turn into your super fans because that's all they read. So they're going to want to read all of your books. So when you're talking about not just a specific book, but what we can call, I mean, it's corny, everyone says it, but your author brand, the kind of writer you are, you want to talk, be specific about the kinds of books you write, what the tropes are. There's some people that only read enemies to lovers romances that are cowboy, Christian cowboy romances set in the 1880s. I mean, you want to drill down because it's going to help you find your people. So every time you get a no, instead of feeling hurt, and this is easier said than done, but try to transform it into, okay, I'm that much closer to my next yes, my next sale, my next fan. When I pitch something either for myself or I'm helping their client, a client and they get a no, I think, well, you know, we want someone to buy your book that loves it, not that is just kind of lukewarm on it, or who will read it and write you a terrible review because they wanted a steampunk murder mystery. I mean, you know, you want to find your people, and that is how you do it, is being as specific as possible. So before I go into how to pitch specifically, do you have any questions, Melissa?
I did have one for you. So I'm just thinking across my my series. So this will be a 7-book series when it's all said and done. And I was thinking about the tropes. Cool. Like I have, I'm excited. It's it's fun to learn these characters as I go. So, but I'm thinking like my first book is A Marriage of Convenience is the trope. But then I've got a book later on that's going to be Second Chance Love. So it's slightly different. Do you think that would affect the pitch? You know, are you pitching for each book or are you pitching for the series? I mean, what are your suggestions?
Well, I guess the answer to that is yes. You want to be able to pitch each of your books individually. But, and this is like writing the, and I consider pitching everyone. I consider every time you talk about your books or yourself, you're pitching because you have the option to make a sale. Pitching is also your back copy, your book blurb. And then you, of course, write query letters to agents if you're interested in doing that. You write pitch letters to podcasts if you want to be on them. I mean, so there's all kinds of ways to pitch. So this formula I'm going to teach you is great because once you get it down, you can chiropractically adjust it depending on the situation and the result that you're wanting. Okay. Right?
That makes sense.
So for you, first of all, that's so exciting, 7 books. Wow. And I don't know, it's not a negative that you don't have the same trope every time. There are series that do that. So maybe on your next series, you might consider that. If the muse moves you, I never encourage people to write stories because they feel like they have to sell it. I think you have to write the best story you can and then find your people to sell to later. You shouldn't worry about it in the creative process. There are other people that have very different opinions, but that is mine.
I like that advice because yeah. I think a lot of times when you get hung up on who am I going to sell this to and I got to write for that person, sometimes you lose the creativity. It blocks the creativity piece of it. So I like that advice.
Yeah. So you definitely want to have someone in mind when you're writing, but you don't have to have it be someone you know. It doesn't have to be the same person that bought your last book, as long as you're always writing the same kind of stories. And by that, I mean, people read to feel emotion. So to me, the most successful authors, when we talk about author brand, are people that deliver the feels. So when you pick up their books, whether it's one series or the next series, you know the kind of feels you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
Because that's they're wanting that hit, that dopamine hit of the emotion. So I think that the tropes, there are some people that only read one trope, especially in romance, but I don't think it's going to trip you up in your series because it's going to have all the feels, and the feels are going to be the same no matter what trope you're using in that story. So to go back to your question before, you need to be able to pitch your whole series, what it is, what the emotion is, what the theme is, the setting, all the things. And then you should be able to pitch each book.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, yeah. So, but ultimately, the book that's the most important, as I'm sure everyone knows, is the first book, because it's the gateway book, right? It gets everyone hooked. Mm-hmm. There's this romance author, and her first series was almost 20 books long. And I mean, she was traditionally published. So I had to wait, you know, a long time for them to come out, but I read them all. I own them all. I've read them more than once. but I got in from that first book, and I still feel like, even though she was obviously growing as an author, that's still my favorite book in the series, maybe because I'm just nostalgic of how it made me feel. So in terms of making money, you'll be marketing, which is pitching that first book the most, but you'll also be pitching the series as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you're introducing each new book, one of the things to use, not in every piece of marketing, but some of it, is the trope, for sure. I mean, tropes are so great because readers are so savvy now, and they know what they like. And so, and I totally am trope gullible as an audience member. They tell me the thing, I'm like, oh, okay, that's me. And I, so it works. So any other questions?
No, not right now.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I call my pitch formula the cocktail pitch. Now, some people call it an elevator pitch. I think cocktail pitch is more fun because it's what you say when you're at a party and someone says, what are you working on? What's your latest thing, Melissa? What are you writing? And you kind of, you know, rattle off a little bit spiel. So this is, again, not your whole story. It's to get to the tell me more, whether it's we're in person and I'm like, tell me more about your sexy cowboys, or I'm reading the description on Amazon and I click the buy button, or I download a sample. This is to get to tell me more. And it's really focused on hooking the reader. Now, guys, if you are pitching in person at this conference or another conference in the future, that they're expecting a short and sweet pitch, which is what this is. But I also want to encourage you that questions are good. So think of a pitch as a conversation, not a presentation. Now, if you're at a cocktail party, people are going to ask you questions and you're going to get maybe interrupted. If you're at like a speed pitching event or you're in a big room at one of these conferences and you're pitching to agents, they may not ask you any questions, but they may. But interruptions are good because it means people are listening, they're paying attention, and they're invested. They want to know what happens. They want clarity. And in the entertainment business, it's really great if you're pitching in a meeting and the executives ask you questions, because sometimes they completely, it seems like they're not even listening. And so if they're asking questions, it's a really good sign. The other thing is, no one is good at this when they start. So I just, before we even get into this, and even talking about your personal cocktail pitch that we just went through where you're introducing yourself, it takes practice and it feels really uncomfortable when you start. So I just want to encourage everyone that you don't come out of the gate a great pitcher. And it's normal to feel uncomfortable because all the attention's on you. you're talking about something that you put your blood, sweat, and tears into, your book, your story. And it's easy to get nervous or feel uncomfortable. And the only way to combat that is practice. So practice at home by yourself in front of the mirror. You can even video, use your phone and take a video so you can see what you look and sound like. And then practice with your friends and your family. If you have a writer's group, y'all get together and practice. If you practice with your loved ones, you know, your spouse or your brother, your sister, whoever, and get their feedback and see what they react to. But also, just the more you do it, the easier it'll be. And because the ideal situation is what I talked about before, where you're so comfortable talking about your book that you can on the fly adjust it depending on the outcome you want or who you're talking to. So say you're talking to me and shocker, I say I hate cowboys. I mean, I would never say that. I'm from Texas, but let's just pretend. And you're like, oh no, my thing is all about cowboys. Well, I bet you could find a way to pitch it and highlight the romance and skip all the cowboy stuff. But you're only going to be able to do that if you're super comfortable with what you're talking about. And the way you get that is by practicing. Okay. So again, remember this, you're selling, not telling, and this is just to get to the tell me more. So the first thing you do is you start with your format and genre. Now, all of you are novelists, so you're just going to say, I'm an author, I'm a novelist. It's a book, right? It's a Christian historical romance, and you're going to say the time period, right? So yes. I know where I'm at. And then that, again, this, so when I hear that, now at your conference, everyone knows that you're pitching Christian books, but they don't know that it's a historical romance. So you still have to ground whoever you're talking to by telling them the format and the genre first. As a listener, I know where I am. I know what to expect. It helps me follow the story. It helps me pay attention. If someone isn't interested in that, which we talked about earlier, getting those no's, and they say, look, I'm really sorry. I'm not interested in hearing a romance pitch. That doesn't feel so great, but you haven't wasted this person's time, and you can turn around and say, well, what is your book about? Or what are you looking for? Because you might have another project/book that would fit what they're looking for, or you might have a best friend that's written a book that they're looking for. So it's always good to ask that when you get rejected. So we start with our format and our genre, then we move on to our touchstones. Now, I always teach you want to use TV and movies, even though we're talking books, because way more people watch movies and TV than read books. And so you can pick a universal movie or TV show that everyone knows. Do not pick some obscure Japanese soap opera that no one has seen. You want big movies and TV shows, and it's best if you pick things that have made money. You don't want to pick something that's a famous flop for no one going to see it or that was really bad. So your touchstones can be used several different ways. So the first way is the cliched Hollywood X meets Y. Now, it's cliched for a reason. It works, right? So an example is Frozen meets the Avengers. I hear that. I know immediately what I'm listening to. I know I'm like, okay, it's fairy tale superheroes. All right, that's cool. You might already get a tell me more just from that. There's two other ways to use touchstones. One is to take it and put it in another setting. So this is Frozen in high school. I personally love high school movies, and especially with young adult books, they do that a lot. They take really famous things and set them, redo them in high school. So that's a good pitch. And then the third thing is you're barring other people's audiences. So you say, well, this is for fans of The Princess Bride and Frozen. So again, I listen to that and I say, okay, well, they're both fairy tales. The Princess Bride was funny. It was a romance. Frozen was about sisters. Okay. So I know this is some funny fairy tale thing. It may be romantic. It may be sisterly. Let's see what they say. So that's the way to use touchstones. And it's just, it again, just like starting with your format and your genre, it helps round who you're talking to. They know what to expect, and it helps them, again, follow your story and pay attention. So next we have what is the hardest part of the cocktail pitch to figure out, and that's your emotional hook. So we talk a lot about hooks in storytelling, and there's all kinds of different hooks. There's high concept hooks from the movies, like Die Hard on a Bus. But this is, what's the emotional hook of your story? Again, what are all the feels? What are people going to remember when they close the book? Emotion sells. So it's just the most important thing to highlight the emotion. You want to make your character's struggle relatable to the listener, or if they're reading your back book blurb, your reader. And the easiest way to do that is to ask a question. Like, do you remember when you were little and you were afraid that there were monsters under your bed? What if there really were? Right? Or you can use a metaphor or archetypes. So geeks versus the jocks, for high school, mean girls, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Or what if the high school mean girl was running the PTA, right? I know who mean girls are. I know what the PTA is like. I'm kind of interested in that. So those are the ways to kind of round your emotional hook and make people already, if I'm listening, you're pitching me and you say that, I'm like, I know what the PTA is like. I know what mean girls are like once they grow up. So, okay, I'm in, right? So next we've got what I call the story appetizer, which is, oops, sorry. That is not next. Next is the main character and their emotional struggle. And my favorite example of that is Katniss, because I describe her as an ordinary 16-year-old girl whose selfless sacrifice to save her sister's life starts a revolution. Now, I hear that, boom, you don't even need to tell me the rest of your pitch. I'm like sold. And I have a lot of tell me more questions. Does she save her sister's life? Does she win the revolution? How does saving her sister's life start a revolution? Now, you'll notice in that I didn't talk about the Hunger Games. I didn't mention the love triangle. I was just talking about the emotional drive of our main character. And that is her drive through three books. She wants to save her loved ones, right? Next, after that, then we've got our story appetizer, which is 3 to 5 sentences, a little bit more about your story. So here's where you go more into what your character's trying to accomplish and how they do it. Again, back to Katniss, stay focused on her and her trying to save her loved ones. You don't need to even explain the Hunger Games here, but you can. I don't want to hear about the love triangle. I have a rule that you should only mention 2 characters in your cocktail pitch. Any more than that, it is your listener or the person reading the book blurb, they lose the thread of the story and they can't follow it. Even if you're doing an ensemble piece, like the Avengers, right? You don't want to introduce all of them and what all of their deals are in your back book blurb or your pitch. Really, at the heart of the Avengers is the conflict between Iron Man and Captain America. And that is what I would talk about. So you stay focused on that. And then you end with a cliffhanger. And the cliffhanger is really simple. Can they do it? Whoever they are, whoever your main character is, can Katniss save her sister's life? Will Fiona get a date to their cousin's wedding, or will she be stuck at the singles table with all the great aunts? Will they be able to rob the bank and get the money to pay for the kidney transplant and save the brother's life? Like, that's what you end on. And that is how you get the tell me more. So that is the cocktail pitch.
I like it. There's things I know I've put in like my back cover blur, but then I have things missing. So I was just trying to think through some of those. I like how you say to draw on movies, because a lot of times we try to draw on other books in our genre. I've never thought about looking at to television or movies.
I think if it's a really big book that all your readers would know, like Lessons in Chemistry, that every single person has read, and if they haven't read it, now there's a TV show, that you can totally do. If it's a classic book, like you can throw Jane Eyre in there, you know, then things like that have become movies and that are also a book. Harry Potter is one I use a lot. And so I think he's kind of a book movie theme park combo.
He's kind of got it all, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think of in our genre, I'm sorry, I think of Francine Rivers' Redeeming Love.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people have heard that and at least watched the movie if they haven't read the book. So.
Yes. And there's, is that the same series as the one, The Love Comes Softly? That's another one.
That is a Jeanette Oak series, I believe. Okay, yeah.
That's another one. Yeah. So you guys know your people, you know, your audience/buyers. So, you can definitely use that. And if you're at a conference and you're pitching to an agent or a publisher, it is totally okay to use one of their books or one of their authors as your touchstones, because you know they already like it. Now, it's only okay if that's really applicable to your book. You don't want to be using random things to make whoever you're listening to excited that aren't relevant to your book, because then they're going to get really irritated with you when they sit down to read it.
Yeah, don't want that.
So I think the main thing is really being comfortable with not telling the whole story and thinking about getting to that tell me more. Because once you kind of shift your perspective and you're like, oh, I want to get them engaged, I'm going to get them asking questions, it really can help you form your pitch in a new way.
I like it. And it's so practical and it seems so easy. But I also know sometimes, like you said earlier when we were talking, I think before we hopped on here, is that you're so close to the project that sometimes it's hard to pull back and get those overarching themes or emotions. And so having someone come alongside and help you with that. And I know you offer some coaching services. Could you share a little bit about what you do to help authors with their pitches?
Sure. So I do one-on-one coaching, and it can be a variety of things. I can do developmental edits, and I can help you with your pitch. I can help you figure out how to pitch yourself. It's really on a case-by-case basis. I work with authors and screenwriters, and so they come to me and say, I want to do X, can you help me? And we work out a plan of how we're going to do that. I work over Zoom, and I have an hourly rate. And I offer packages, so the more you buy, the cheaper it is. I'm also, hopefully later on this summer, going to be publishing my first nonfiction book. It is not for your audience. It's aimed to help screenwriters become novelists. But if any of your audience are interested in learning about the film business side of things, I'm happy to help them develop pitches and talk about marketplace and things like that. I was saying to Melissa that now is a great time to be in the Christian storytelling space, because people, not just people that identify as Christians, but just people in general, are really frustrated with mainstream Hollywood. They really just make movies for themselves. They don't make movies for everyone. They used to, but they don't anymore. And so all of these alternative movie studios and streaming services have sprung up and continue to spring up, and they all need content. And so I think what you guys do with romance is just ripe for that. If you look at the Hallmark Channel, that's all they do is romance. And they have been so successful at it that they have all these competitors now, some of whom are saying flat out, we're Christian. That those are the stories we tell. And so it's I think it's really exciting because I love romance and I miss rom-coms and I miss big sweeping romances. They haven't made them in probably 15 years for the theater. So
yeah, I love that. And I would love to dive into that a little bit more with you. We'll probably have Lindsay back again for another episode just to talk about that concept. Because I agree with you, Lindsay. I feel like we're definitely set up to kind of maybe storm that market a little bit, you know, get our foot in the door. So
you can find me. I'm at thepitchmaster.com. That's my company. And I put together a little cheat sheet of the two ways of pitching both yourself and your project that we talked about today. And that y'all can find that at thepitchmaster.com/pitch. And I also thought of one other thing that I wanted. Can I say
one? Yes, go right ahead.
So, because I asked Melissa a bunch of questions about this before we started, and then we didn't talk about it. So the other thing is the spiciness level in your books. So, I know that in the Christian marketplace, and really, actually, just in romance in general, there are people that only read, that mostly read one kind of book. Like I was telling her, I don't want to read myself explicit sex scenes. I don't buy that stuff or read it. And so as part of your pitch and as part of your back book blurb, you want to make sure to include your spiciness level. Now it's tricky because it's so arbitrary and everyone has their own thing. Like I listened to the I Wish I'd Known Then podcast, which is hosted by a romance writer and a cozy mystery writer. I recommend it. But anyway, so they were talking about the spiciness ratings and how like she thought her books were kind of mildly spicy and people were saying they were like barely spicy. And then the things that she thought were like not spicy, we're spicy. I mean, it's just like it's a minefield. But I do think you need to find a way, and it needs to be in the same tone as the rest of your book blurb or your pitch to talk about what's in your books. Some people don't want any kissing. Some people want kissing. Some people want closed door things. Some people don't. So you've got to find a way to weave that into your pitch. And I would think about funny lingo to use. Maybe like I know the podcast does the coffee link thing, which I think
we
is
do.
Great.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, if you write Western, so maybe you've got spurs or something as your rating.
I like know. It. We something. Do lassos too. So
yeah something fun. And you wanna put that right in your book description on Amazon and the other retailers, on your back book and on your website. And probably like Melissa had it in her intro when she talked about herself. You want to weave all that in because back to finding your people, the kissing people want kissing books. The non-kissing people, they want romance, you know, but no kissing. So you want to make sure that you're super clear about what your books are and what your style is. And I want to say there's no right or wrong way here. There's room for everybody, which is again, what's so exciting about being an author now. So, there's not one way to do a spicy or no spicy. Just make sure that when you're talking to people and when you're writing your book descriptions and your pitches, that it's clear.
I like that. That's good. Good advice. And I forgot we did talk about that a little bit before we hopped on here. And we also talked about, and you kind of hit this already. It's okay when they say no, it that they're not your reader, and that's okay, even though it hurts sometimes. So to hear.
Once you can flip that no and make it positive, it becomes a lot less painful. You're kind of like, I try to say, give thanks for my no's when I get them. Even if I'm pitching myself as a coach or if it's a client gets a no or whatever it is, it's like, okay, well, where that we don't want to be with people that aren't 1,000% excited about our story. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. It's wonderful. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us today. I loved all the information, and it's just in time for us to get ready for our conference, and I appreciate it. And I hope everyone takes the opportunity to check out Lindsay's website, and then it's thepitchmaster.com/pitch, correct, for your...
thepitchmaster.com/pitch, and that'll lead you to, you have to put your email in, and then it'll download it. And you automatically get put on my newsletter, but you can immediately unsubscribe. It gives you that option. It won't hurt my feelings.
However, I think you'll benefit from staying on her newsletter list. So thank you so much for joining us today, Lindsay.
Thank you, Melissa. I had a great time. Good luck, everybody, at the conference. I hope just go knowing what outcome you want and make it happen.
That's great advice. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.